Lord, I'm thankful that your mercy is new, that you've allowed us this week to lay ourselves down before you as living sacrifices. Lord, I'm sure some of us had days where we wanted to get up and walk off the altar, like we talked about, and kind of do things our own way. But Lord, I pray that every day we would grow stronger, more consistent in our yielding of ourselves to you, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. You've bought me, so let me live in a way that honors you. And I'm asking now, Lord, that this text will challenge us as believers and how we're to engage one another on a weekly basis here in this congregation. So give us eyes and ears, hearts to hear, to respond. And we ask these things would be done for Jesus' sake. Amen. So our message is entitled, Gifts for the Common Good. I want to share with you something that happened in my life. A couple years ago, I got a gift of a t-shirt, a long-sleeve shirt. And in the moment, I opened the gift up, and it was nice, right? And so after you open up other gifts, I took that shirt, and I put it on a hanger, and I put it in my closet, and in essence, forgot about it, right? It just kind of hung in my closet for a while, really, like a year or so. And then recently, my wife, I was trying to figure out what I would call her, lots of different descriptors, but the one who dresses me or whatever, right? She was going through my closet and she said, hey, you've had this nice shirt in here that you've not worn in a long time, if ever, and you should wear it. It is a gift. And I was like, oh yeah. And so I pulled it out and it matched my eyes and it looked good with my hair and all the important things. So I tried it on and I wore it, and you know what? I really liked it. And I've worn it 3 or 4 times here in the last few months, and it's not this shirt, right? Don't be trying to. But it was a shirt that I'd had for a while, a gift that I'd been given that I just hadn't used. And then once I used it, I was like, oh yeah, it's a good gift. So I don't know why I didn't use it more regularly, more often, more quickly, whatever the right word is in that situation. And I share that about my wardrobe because I believe that's the situation with some of you here today. God has given you a gift, not a shirt, something more valuable, a spiritual gift. And many of you, instead of using it, have kind of just put it aside, hung it up in the closet. And so my hope and desire today is to be that person who comes along and says, that's Rain, who comes along and says, hey, what about this gift? Have you thought about using it? Thought about trying it out and see how it fits and how it works for you? And I believe, because it's of the Lord, it is a good and perfect gift. The problem is, we've just not used it. So let me invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12 with that in our mind as we look at what Paul says regarding gifts and what they're to be used for in the life of a congregation. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So if you want to write down some notes, there's a space in your bulletin, you can do so. But notice how Paul starts off. He issues this warning, this issue of pride that all of us, if we're honest, must battle. Look in verse 3 again. He says, "For by the grace given to me, this grace of apostleship, this grace of God changing my life, calling me from death to life, setting me apart for the gospel, by this grace that's been given to me, I say," and notice the description here, "I say to everyone among you." He's speaking to all of us here today who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage isn't just for me. It's not just for Sunday school teachers like Don and Vicky and others. It's not just for staff or leadership. It is for everyone of us here who have ears to hear, who are believers. I'm speaking to all of you. And here's his warning: not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. This slide kind of reminds me of the day in which we live. Everything is about me, right? That's kind of where we live. I mean, you go on Facebook, it's all about, look at my meal. Look at what I did, right? If you follow people on Instagram, it's this kind of stuff, right? And it doesn't matter. It could be somebody really famous behind them, and it's like more important that you got the picture of me than the person behind. Remember, you used to just stand and snap shots of people, but now it's not good enough that you get a picture of the famous person. You got to get me in the picture of the famous person, right? Because it's about me. Things on Facebook, somebody posts something. Well, I've got to respond to it because they're obviously talking to me, right? Or we're so offended by everything that everybody says. We take everything so seriously, and it's like everything is directed at us. That's the day and age in which we live. Me, 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 me. And if we're honest, this spirit resides in a congregation as well. Right? The evil one is always at work, and he raises this temptation up in our hearts. There are some of you in this congregation who think that the church is for you, for your desires, for your needs, for your wants. And we see that heart manifest itself in all kinds of ways. Now, let me say this. There's a small element of truth to that, in that the Bible says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." And so when you come together as believers, we should bear each other's burdens. We should pray for one another. You need us. You need us to be encouraging you and praying for you and holding you accountable. I mean, in that essence, yes, you need things, and it is kind of about you, but that's not where I'm going. For many people, the church is stuff like this. The church should be about what I want, my interests, my type of music, my type of ministry, right? I don't know why they did that song. It doesn't relate to me. Or I don't know why he was talking about that chapter or that passage in Scripture, because that doesn't relate to me. It's all about me, rather than recognizing we live within a community of believers. Sometimes we hear this and it's discouraging, it's challenging. I'll hear people complain and whine. Nobody called me. Nobody visited me. Nobody introduced themselves or greeted me during greeting time, right? Look, I want us to be friendly as a congregation, and I want us to do ministry with one another, but the obvious question that I don't ask you, but that I think in my heart sometimes, if I'm just being transparent, who did you call? Who did you visit? Who did you greet or meet or ask how their week was? You see what I'm saying? We become so introverted, and it's all about us, and we get offended that people aren't ministering or meeting our needs, all the while that's so dangerous. That's one aspect of pride that rears its head in the congregation. And some of you may deal with that and battle with that. The other issue of pride that he's warning us against is this. This church needs me. If I didn't go here, if I didn't teach that class, if I didn't tithe, this church would implode, collapse. right? There are some people that that's their attitude. I am so important and God needs me in this congregation. Well, again, there's an element of truth to that. God wants you here and you're part of a body and we're going to develop that and you're needed in that aspect. But at the end of the day, God doesn't need any of us. He was able to create all things before any of us were around. I'm sure He can provide resources for this congregation if you're not here. Now, I'm not running anybody off, but I just want you to get the idea of what I'm saying, right? It's this mindset that I'm really important. And that's why I think what He's saying here is this. Look, I'm urging you, I'm encouraging you, He says, not to think of yourself, Himself, more highly than He ought to think. But instead, think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So what He's saying there is this. Look, don't be in a pity party that nobody called you, nobody's doing what you want, nobody's ministering to you, nobody's doing the things you wish they would do, and oh, or don't get in this arrogant attitude that I'm so important that if I weren't here, you know. No, who you are is who God has made you to be, and He's using you in this congregation. That's great, but have this essence of guarding yourself against the evil one infiltrating your mind. So He wants us to think about that. And then He develops what that looks like because He says, instead of it being me, 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 notice that we're all one body. We're united. We're connected. He says, verse 4, for as in one body, one church, we have many members. And the members don't all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So here's a picture that kind of shows it, right? I mean, just imagine if that was Christ, His arms outstretched, right? So we're part of that. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I live in Him, right? He lives in me. But this kind of idea that we're in Him, and so every one of us makes up a part of this body. Jesus is the head. We're many parts. Each part is, as He says, unique, distinct, different. Paul uses this idea of body many places in the New Testament. I know you can't really see this very well, but the idea here is, in different aspects, he talks about the different body parts, and he's talking about spiritual gifts, but he says, look, each of those gifts come together to make up one body, right? So prophecy and ministry and service and faith, and those are all the things that are listed there. Just very quickly, let me show you a couple of those examples. I'm not going to expound them, but I just want you to be mindful of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says this, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members are one body, though many, they're one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, we all are all baptized in the one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. You can say male, female, black, white, you know, English, Spanish, whatever you want to say. You can make all these. We're all one in Christ and the local congregation. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And he gives some examples about the foot and, you know, its importance. Verse 18, but as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. That's such an important statement there, because think about this. In this congregation, God has brought you together as He desires, for His purposes and for His glory. Paul says, some plant, some water, but God causes the growth. And that's the same for building a church, right? We can preach, we can teach, we can sing, we can invite, but God is the one who is knitting us together as a body of a congregation. And what you see with the congregation, or when you think of this body, is there's two types. There's the global body, so all believers all over the place, China, Afghanistan, Canada, you know, Colombia, right? There's believers down there. We're all part of the global church. But what Paul's getting at here is this local church, 7800 Lake Worth Road. God is uniquely developing us, creating us as one body. Different parts, different skills, different abilities, different talents. So, however you want to, but we're one. We're one. If you're in Christ, we are one. And that's what he's trying to drive at. We're one body. It's not about me, but it's about the body who Christ has died for. So notice what he says then, the action that we should take in verse 6 and following. So we're one body. We have many different members, but one body. Different functions, but one body. So he says in verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us what? Use them! Each having a gift, let us use them. Let me share with you this. This week as I was thinking, God gives at least three different types of gifts. One, the gift of salvation, right? So everything you want to incorporate into that, justification, forgiveness, adoption, inheritance, every one of those things is a gift from Him. In Ephesians chapter 2, it's by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. It is the gift of God. That's the word that Paul uses. Our salvation is a gift, not earned. It's not that we were just so smart and we figured it out and all this kind of stuff. God has richly bestowed upon us, while we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses, He made us alive in Christ Jesus. It is a gift of God that He has saved us. And I recognize in this room, some of you have never even received that gift. The gift of life, of hope, forgiveness. And all the while, even today, He's saying, if you will call upon me, if you will repent, if you will believe in me today, I'll give you the gift of life. I'll give you forgiveness and hope and redemption, the great gift of salvation. But a second gift that He gives is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was having that discussion with the disciples, He says, look, I'm going to go away, and it's good for you that I go away, because when I go away, then I'm going to send the Helper. And He'll be with you, and He won't leave you and stuff. So think about what a gift that is. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the sign and the seal of our redemption, so it gives us an assurance of our salvation. But also the Holy Spirit, in many ways, brings comfort and peace, right? The peace that surpasses all understanding. He dwells in us, and He gives us this just sense of joy in our heart. He gives wisdom and discernment. He's the one that opens Scriptures. As we read the Scripture, He illuminates our mind and our heart for us to understand what we're reading. He's the moral conscience inside of us that's saying, no, don't do this. This is wrong. And yet sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit by going ahead and doing it anyways, right? But it's that thing inside of us. It's God in us. Even now, it's a gift. He hasn't left us as orphans. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit that rests in us. But the third gift, so salvation, the Holy Spirit, but the third gift is that He gives us spiritual gifts. It's things that He gives to us that are to be used for His glory. Take a look here for a minute with me. These are just some of the lists in the New Testament. Again, I'd recognize it's small, right? But in Romans chapter 12, you see a list of some spiritual gifts. So maybe you just write down these chapters if you want to go back and look at them. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and you see this wide variety of what we call spiritual gifts. So let me just pause for a second and say, so how would you define a spiritual gift? Something that God has given to us, but how would you describe it? Let me give you a couple of definitions. Ken Hemphill said, spiritual gift is an individual manifestation. So it's unique, it's different for every individual. It's an individual manifestation of grace from the Father that enables you to serve Him and thus play a vital role in His plan for the redemption of the world. Yeah, I like it. What about this one? Peter Wagner defines a spiritual gift as a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within some context of the body. Holy Spirit gives it to every individual to be used within the body. Gene Wilkes, spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit and the life of believers which empowers them to serve the body of Christ, the church, right? So some different variations, but let me kind of bring them together and some things that you can take from that. First, note what we see about spiritual gifts are they're supernatural in origin. They're from God. They're gifts He gives to us. It's not like you can say, oh, you know what? I want to have the gift of like I don't know, the gift of mercy. So let me go read books on mercy, and now I have the gift. It's not like you just academically can acquire these types of gifts, right? I mean, you can read about them, and you can say, okay, you can pray for them, and those sorts of things, but it's not something like I want to get a degree in finance, so I'm going to go down to the college to take a finance. Oh, I want a degree, you know, you can't do it that way. It comes from God. It has this supernatural anointing, and he gives them as he sees fit for this body. To bless us as a congregation, not me, that me idea, but to bless one another. They can be strengthened. You can grow in your spiritual gift, but it's not something that you can just manifest on yourself any more than salvation is. It's God giving it to you. And I would say this too, a spiritual gift's not the same as a talent. And just because you do something in life doesn't mean that's your spiritual gift. So the example I used in the first service is, say like you're a third grade teacher. Okay, I'm going to use Don, third grade. It just popped in my mind. So Don taught third grade, okay. No, I'm not going to use Don because this will backfire on me. I'm going to use somebody else. It's one of you. You're a teacher, right? And so the tendency is to think, oh, that must mean you have the gift of teaching. But really, you may have the gift of hospitality. You can teach, and you teach kids in school, but what God has given you is this ability to have people to your home, and you're just friendly and outgoing and encouraging, and people are drawn to you just in a supernatural way, right? You're just able to make connections and friends, and God has given you the platform. So you teach as your career, but you have the gift of hospitality. Or maybe you're an accountant or a CPA or something. So then naturally people think, oh, you must have the gift of administration. But no, maybe you have the gift of prayer. You do administration in your life, but your real gift is you're a prayer warrior. And you pray in secret, and you fast and pray, and you do all those kind of things. And it's not like, oh, gosh, pastor's talking about a fasting day. How long do I have to fast? But like, you do it on your own, right? Because it's your gift. It's what you do. You see? Now, that doesn't mean it can't be the same. So maybe you are a teacher, and maybe the gift that God has given you is teaching. All I'm trying to say is, just because you do it in life doesn't mean it necessarily means that's your spiritual gift in the context of a church. They might be different, or they may overlap in some ways, right? But they're from God. The other thing we see is that there's different manifestations of them. So two people can have the gift of serving, but they don't show themselves the same way. They don't serve in the same way. Or in the same intensity, or power, or time, right? Somebody might say, oh yeah, I really want to help the youth do a car wash, have the gift of serving, I'm going to put the hoses out and other things. Somebody else that has the gift of service, they may not want to do that, but they'll say, hey, you know what, I really want to help by like helping with baptisms. Different manifestations of serving, but there's still the gift of serving. And a third idea that we see from those definitions is that these gifts that are from God have different manifestations, are for the church. They're to build up the body. They're to encourage one another. They're to bless one another. They're to help each other grow in our spiritual maturity, to advance the kingdom, all those sorts of things. Spiritual gifts are never for pride, for ego, for boasting. I've got the gift of wisdom, and I'm way smarter than all of y'all. Right? That's not me. I'm just giving an example. You know what I mean? But you see what I'm saying? That would be even if you're thinking it in your heart, man, I'm so much smarter than my Sunday school teacher. I mean, I got the gift of wisdom. He's got the gift of like foolishness or whatever. I don't know, right? Whatever's going through your mind. Or I've got the gift of giving. Y'all know how much I gave last year to Lottie Moon. I just want to tell y'all how much I gave. That's not what they're for. Instead, like praying, many ways they're to be used and to bless the church, to bless others, but not for self-credit, not for, you know, look how glorious or how good I am, but it's because you're doing them unto the Lord because he's given them to you, and you're saying, Lord, these are for your glory, they're for your honor, and I'm going to use them in a way to just bless, to bless your church, to bless your people, whether I get anything out of it or not. So he tells us, use them. If you're a believer here today, God has gifted you with a spiritual gift. Every one of you. Now, as that last slide showed, there's lots of places that you can go and jump around and look at all these different types of spiritual gifts. That's not what I'm going to do today. And even in these passages, I'm just going to briefly go over them. I'm not going to go in much detail with you, but just want to kind of whet your appetite with these. Look what he says. So verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And here's what he says. If prophecy, then in the proportion of your faith. Lots of questions in the New Testament about what does it mean by prophecy. Old Testament, we're pretty clear what was going on there. New Testament, not as sure what that means. Like, Jesus is the last and final prophet, but in Acts, you see people who were called prophets and that sort of stuff. But the idea is maybe somebody who would speak the Word of God in such a powerful and direct way to individuals, right? And so if you have this ability to, like, really just speak truth to people and really connect with them and really cut to their heart, maybe that's the gift you have. Well, use it in proportion to the faith that you have. For others, he says, if service, then serving. Now, in our minds, we immediately jump and think about, oh, serving, that must mean deacons. Well, deacons definitely serve. That is part of their calling, and that's what you see in the early church. They should serve widows and orphans and be used. But really, Jesus was a servant, and he says all of us should be servants, but in some ways, he gives certain people this spiritual gift of just loving to serve. Let me say this about the deacons. I love those guys, and they serve faithfully, and they serve hard, and they serve well. And this is not to embarrass them. It's just to kind of maybe, I don't know, encourage you as a congregation. The average age of our deacons is 69. Rise up, O men of the church! Right? Those men have been serving faithfully for a long time. I'm not saying any of them need to retire or step down, but what I'm saying is you do need the next generation. You've got Moses, but where's the Joshuas and the Calebs? Right? And we've got deacon stuff coming up in, I don't know, June, July, August, September, that kind of time. Maybe you need to be praying and, okay, Lord, raise up younger, the next generation of men so there could be more of a blendedness, so there could be a transition, there can be an investing and a training and a teaching. I just want you to know, because if that doesn't happen, eventually those men are going to say, I can't do it anymore, right? And then what are you going to have? But it's not just deacons when you think about serving. Serving includes things like this. Those birthday cards that you get every month or every year, right? I mean, yeah, I write in them, but somebody labels them, does all the kind of fancy stuff, right? In the pews, there's pencils in there. How'd they get there? There's envelopes. How'd they get there? Oh, you go to a fellowship hall and, oh, you'll eat the donuts. Well, how did they get there? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to complain because they're half donuts, right? Remember that old debate? They're not half anymore, right? At least when I'm over there, they're still whole. Donut hole. All right, so, but things like this. I'll go to a fellowship meal, and I'll eat, and I'll have a good time, and then I'll leave, not ever really thinking, how did the tables get up? And, oh, who stayed and vacuumed and cleaned up? There's people who have the gift of service, and that's what they like to do. Maybe some of you have that gift, you've just not used it. And God is saying, rise up, use that gift for my glory, for the benefit of the church. Some of you have the ability to teach. That's what he says there, if anyone who teaches in his teaching. We always are in need of Sunday school class teachers. Maybe it's a one-on-one mentoring kind of situation. Donna was kind of joking with me, but she was offering that Sunday school class on Sundays to 9:30, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't take away from my 9:30 congregation, right? I need them, so maybe they go to 11 o'clock, but our problem is we would do it if we had teachers. Don's class, I don't know how many of y'all are over there, 50? We could have 3 or 4 classes over there. But some of you can teach, but you just are not using that gift of teaching. God's saying, use that gift for my glory. VBS, I mean, there's all types of opportunities. CIA, ROC, they're always in need of helpers. Exhorting, the one who exhorts in exhortation. So encouraging people in their walks. Maybe that's through calls, maybe that's through cards, maybe that's through words when they come on Sunday. Hey, how was your week? I just want you to know I was thinking about you, and I heard what you said in our small group. I heard what you said in Sunday school, and let me just encourage you, don't give up, right? I mean, some of you have that gift. Maybe you don't use it because you'll think, well, they think I'm crazy, or I don't really know that person, right? Use that gift, because all of us like to be encouraged, but we need exhorters. What about this? Giving. The one who gives, let him do, or gives contributions, let him do so generously. Now, this one's always the hard one, right? Because we struggle with money and all that kind of stuff. But if you have the gift of giving, you probably have already manifest that. You enjoy giving. But some of you, God is saying, look, I've provided with to you resources, and I lay it on your heart, but for whatever reason, you just battle with being willing to give and to trust me. But I want you to use, and I want you to bless. Some of you, it's leadership. He says, for the one who leads, let him do it with zeal, right? You have the opportunity to set the example for others and to forge ahead and to set a model. But instead, you kind of remain hidden. To the one who has acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness, having compassion on others. You know, there's groups that go and visit the sick, shut-ins. Every Wednesday, groups go out and visit people, right? Maybe you could be doing that as well. You're sitting at home on Wednesdays, and instead of saying, nobody's coming to visit me, maybe you get a part of that group and you go visit people, right? A lot more can be said about each one of those spiritual gifts. That's not really my goal today, to give this great exposition on how to implement those in your lives. But what I want you to think about is this. What I know is that if you're a believer here today, God has given you a gift. He's equipped you for ministry. Not ministry like, oh, pastors in ministry, but ministry like doing the work of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 says the role of pastors and all that kind of stuff is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to do the work of ministry, to minister to one another. In many of us, we don't read this verse. We just kind of stop in Ephesians. We just read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and we go on. But listen to what it says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not saved by works, but we're created to bear fruit, right? Listen, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God desires not only for us to be saved, but also then that in our salvation, we would be involved in ministry. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Go and make disciples of all nations, right? And he hasn't left us. We say this all the time. Well, if God calls you, he's going to provide. He does. It's called spiritual gifts. Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. He's providing for you to do the work of the ministry he's called you to do. But for many of us, we just kind of back out. We don't want to do it. We're not sure, right? I know this, God doesn't want you just to come, listen to music, hear Sunday school, or hear a sermon, and then leave. That's not what a body is for. A body is to encourage each other, pray for one another, serve one another, love one another, use your gifts in such a way that it blesses one another. Because see, yeah, we could listen to messages and hear Christian music at home. But he says, don't forsake the gathering of believers to encourage each other. Not to be self-satisfied, but to encourage others. As you see the days being evil. He wants you to pour your life out into others for their benefit, for the kingdom's benefit. Many ways to do it. There's not just one way. Just like God is, think about this. All the colors that God has created. I mean, you know, when you're in kindergarten or pre-K, you might get an 8-pack of crayons. But as you go up, then it becomes 16, then it's 24, then it's like 128, right? I mean, there's all these shades of colors, and that's how God works as well. There's all these shades of gifts because God is a glorious creator, and we all have different manifestations of those gifts. So it doesn't matter how much we're using that or what our color or what our gift is, the intensity, what matters is our heart. Lord, I'm just going to use to the measure of my faith. I want to serve, or I want to give, or I want to pray, or I want to teach, or I want to be hospitable, right? The Lord is the one who's given you the gift. Just use it. And the other thing that some of you will balk about is there's no age limit to spiritual gifts. It's not like when you start getting Medicaid, Medicare, retirement, that God says, okay, the gift is gone. And I mean that with grace, but we hear it. We hear it. Oh, I did my time. I used to do that when I was younger. yeah, some of you can't do it with the same intensity, but you still have opportunities to serve and to bless others instead of just sitting. Retirement in God's economy is called dying and going to heaven. Spiritually, work from work. Yeah, you can retire from your job, whatever it is, but you never can retire from your calling and your gifts that he's given. Just remember that parable, the talents, right? Some of them used them and God blessed, and the one who buried them, God came and he took it, and he was great disapproval of that individual. And I don't want that for any of us. Some questions and I'm done. Just for you to process and go home with. One, do I know the gift that God has gifted me with? Maybe some of you say, I never even thought about spiritual gifts. I don't even know what my gift is. Okay, well, tomorrow we'll put on our Facebook page, we'll put on our website some links that you can go to and you can try to take some spiritual assessment tests if you want to. Or if you can't access those, send an email and I'll have Gina send you some links or some PDFs that you can print off and take or whatever. We'll try to give you opportunities to kind of figure out as you take some tests and you pray and you discern and you read scripture to identify what that is. Second, if you do know what your gift is, have you been using it wisely? Honestly, are you using it wisely? Would God look at you and say, good job, I want to bless you with more of that gift, or I want to give you more opportunities to use that gift? Or would God look at you and say, why is it still in your closet? Make sense? And then third, the question you should ask is, are there ways that I can start using my gifts for the glory of Jesus and for his kingdom to edify this congregation? So if I know what my gifts are and I've not been using them, what can I do to start that today? Because if you're a believer here, God desires more than just sitting and looking at this, at me, at my face, or at Don. He desires you to look around, to serve, to bless, as we see the days all the more. And the amazing thing is, look, my arm is moving and my leg is moving and my heart is beating and my eyes and all these parts are working together and it allows me to do what I'm doing right now. That's what we need. We need people to serve. We need people to give. We need people to pray. We need people to have hospitality. We need people to teach, right? We need all of those things. And God has you here for that reason. So get involved for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that you have given us salvation, you've given us your Holy Spirit, but Lord, you allow us to be involved in advancing the kingdom, and you do that by giving us gifts, spiritual gifts, to bless and to minister to others. And Lord, I recognize that for some, they're serving and they're doing, and you're pleased with their labors, and Lord, for others, they, using that illustration from the beginning, they've just kind of they've taken the gift and they've just kind of put it aside and they've not even looked at it or tried it on. So Lord, with today, as I'm pointing out this reality, would you show them what that gift is? And would you give them opportunities to walk in obedience and in faith to manifest the gift that you've given them for your glory and to bless others? And Lord, as we do that, would the end result be that this congregation would be strengthened and encouraged, and that the gospel would spread. And to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning,